Happy Monday morning to you, but we also replay this program during the week because it's just so fantastic. Why wouldn't you want to hear it multiple times? We call this a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I, and the professor, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, and L stands for lots of presidentology and historical knowledge under his belt. And he giggles in the background because what is an Adam Lepp show on this station without a wise crack or two? And so, Ron, how are you doing on this fine October morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Hanging in there. Another day, another dollar. Maybe a couple dollars.
Now we're 13 months from the election, November 3rd next year. Just 13 months minus a few days.
Yep, it is approaching rapidly. And that just adds to the fun, because how could we possibly talk politics, presidentology, history, and current events and controversy without seeing the election getting 1 week closer every time we get together on these fine airwaves? Ron and I have this conversation most Mondays between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 Eastern here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Also been repeating the show on Tuesday and Thursday between approximately 2:13 p.m. and 3 for your listening pleasure, enjoyment, and sometimes a little bit of controversy just to add to the fun. Ron is a regular contributor to the History News Network website. We will be going over an article that he published literally yesterday evening, as well as his long-standing 11-and-a-half-year blog, theprogressiveprofessor.org, and, of course, current events. We might even debate a few things because we haven't really disagreed on something in a while, but some things we agree on, some things we don't agree on, and some things we partially agree on. I'm independent. You know, I'm definitely a fiscal conservative. I'm definitely to the right or far to the right on the always controversial immigration issue. But on other things like pro-choice, I'm extremely to the left. So I have these eclectic political beliefs that always make it an adventure when you talk about issues with me, because sometimes you really don't know exactly what you're going to be arguing about, which side. Or sometimes I change my mind, which is okay. We're allowed to fine-tune and adjust our opinions. And two big stories, Ron, but a lot in the last week. October has really started out with a bang. Of course, the 95th birthday of President Peanut, as we call him, Jimmy Carter, was...
Hooray! Hooray!
Yes, last Tuesday. Again, he had a difficult presidency. Whether or not he was responsible for the gas lines, the 20% inflation, the unemployment, etc., is up for debate. I think Ron and I agree he has some responsibility. I would say he has a little more than Ron would think he has. But he had a difficult presidency. But alas, almost 40 years after he left office, he is still alive and well. He appears to have somewhat, I mean, you never really know, but somewhat conquered the cancer that he had a few years ago. The guy stays healthy. He's still building homes for Habitat for Humanity. He still teaches Sunday school. And he's still married to his wife for an extremely long time, and she's also still living in her 90s. So, happy
95th. And also, October 17th, their marriage will be longer than the Bushes, another 10 to 11 days from now. Yep.
Happy 95th birthday to the Peanut President, James Earl Carter III, or whichever one he was. But kind of hard to believe, Ron. He was elected in the bicentennial year of 76, when I was...
That's right.
Well, let's say 12 years old, we'll say it, but I'm not going to really repeat my age at that time. And he is still president. Pretty crazy. Not still president, still living. Well, he's still called president.
Yeah, I must say that I was not thrilled when he ran. I voted for him over Gerald Ford, but I wasn't thrilled about him because I'm a northerner in background. And I said, a southern guy who harvested peanuts? I found it hard to get used to him. But over the years, particularly since he left, I've come to really admire and love him. So yeah. I admire him more every year now, but not as much when he was in the White House.
He's still called President Carter, being a former president, but he's still living. Yeah, and, you know, almost like what my mom said, Ron, my mom said, he's a peanut farmer. Well, you know what? Peanuts are good for you, and agriculture is an important industry in this country. So what's wrong with being a peanut farmer? Plus, he was also the governor of Georgia. Important southern state. Yes, he does seem a little bit like a country boy. He does have an accent. His family is a little odd, but, you know, very smart man. Probably the problem with Carter, as we look at Trump, as I said, many people, especially some of my younger friends who like Trump, the first thing they say is he's such a, again, A, with the second word being whole, and Carter, you know, is too nice. And it's the same thing we say about, yeah, as the World Series gets ready to start later in the month, about managers in sports. Sparky Anderson, he wasn't known as a nice guy on the field. Now, as a man, he was very nice. It was a good interview. He didn't come across as all that intelligent, but that was part of his image. He was a street-smart baseball guy. And you could say a lot of the things about Donald Trump. From what I seem to hear, I mean, I don't know the guy, but in person, he's not a bad guy. He's certainly an interesting guy. He certainly is street smart. I don't think even Donald Trump would think he has an IQ at the level of or more intelligent presidents. I mean, we know that he is quite, if not very, arrogant. But I think Donald Trump understands, as a man, that his smarts are more street smarts than they are the book smarts. Bill Clinton, I would say, in recent memory, the president with the most book smarts, yes, and street smarts, that's important too as a president. And maybe the fact that Donald Trump, again, comes across as this arrogant, unlikable leader, is that a good quality? Because with Carter, he was just so nice. You know, we talk about Mr. Rogers. That's probably not the persona we want in the White House. Someone who just is too nice, because people, you know, they're cutthroats. They're going to walk all over him. And when it comes to foreign policy, that's kind of what happened. We had the hostage situation, and Carter spent a large amount of time getting the hostages released. Yeah. And on the inauguration day for the new president, Reagan, after Carter lost the election, the hostages were released, and we applaud his effort in getting that accomplished. But the hostages being taken to begin with, there was a failed rescue mission, as you know, Ron.
Yes, if that had worked, he would have been elected to a second term if he had had a successful rescue mission.
I know, seemed kind of weak, and you know, no one would even his detractors would never say Carter wasn't a nice man. But maybe that's not what we need. Maybe we need someone like Trump who doesn't come across as this nice person. Now, granted, Nixon, and we talk about foreign policy, again, even his detractors understand he was considered a genius at foreign policy. But was Nixon a nice guy? Was he not? To me, I would say Nixon.
He was not a nice guy.
Yeah, Nixon was probably a little bit toward the level of not being nice, but not like Trump was, because he was more dignified about it. So
yeah. I was going to mention Joe Biden comes across as a real nice guy, but I think he comes across as more realist than Carter ever was.
Yeah,
so
I think
he would be same as Carter.
Yeah, Biden could be again, that word starts with an A, if necessary. But as a, you know, certainly as a man, he would be one of the coolest, nicest people you would meet. In fact, it's been talk about him being too nice, that he likes to smell people's hair and get too close, and who knows what. I mean, I think that whole thing is kind of ridiculous, and I don't care if he smells my hair or someone else's. I don't think that that's really a big deal, especially what compared to what Donald Trump has been accused of doing. So,
yeah, I wanted to mention something about Trump. He apparently has been talking about impeachment, and he's made this statement that he thinks it's not good for his resume. Why in the world is he worried about his resume? That is a little bit.
I would agree. If you're impeached, that doesn't look very good.
But does it really matter for his resume?
Donald Trump has been self-employed, so I'm self-employed. I haven't submitted a resume. I can't even remember. It's certainly been 25, 30 years. So
it just sounds ridiculous that he would talk about worrying about his resume.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump certainly says things, and that's part of the charm of the guy. He says these things without thinking, and is it funny or could it be potentially hazardous? It depends how you want to take the guy. He is so different in that regard. Although he's our oldest president, he's the one who seems to be the most embracing of this need the information, need the update now philosophy of Twitter and social media, where you post something and the whole world sees it, instead of publishing a newspaper and it comes out the next morning, and the minute it rolls off the presses, it's already out of date. But with Trump, he has this immediacy, and he says things just like people do on social media, but they end up regretting them. The problem is that when you click the submit button on Twitter or Facebook, the whole world sees it.
And I wanted to mention, he made a comment about Romney, who's attacked him, you know, and he said that he should be impeached. A senator cannot be impeached. He doesn't even understand the Constitution. Only executive branch and judicial branch can be impeached. So that's a preposterous statement.
we can look at the Donald Trump's lack of understanding of government either as humorous, because I don't think Donald Trump is an unintelligent man. I mean, I think you would agree, Ron. He is very street smart. He just kind of says this stuff probably personally to rile people, because that kind of gets the conversation going.
He gets attention from people,
right?
Too. He always wants attention.
Right.
Yeah.
And he will. I think Donald Trump would admit he is an attention seeker. He is arrogant, and we need some of that as the president. Jimmy Carter, he wasn't arrogant. He was just too nice. And it's good to be nice, but it depends on the line of work that you're in. And as a president, you gotta put your foot down sometimes. And would President Biden, if we have President Biden, and kind of wondering now. I asked me a month ago if I thought Biden was a shoo-in. I would have said probably, but now I'm not quite sure. I think
with
he would
new
put
thing that he's that Trump's creating a so-called scandal about Hunter Biden. It could really dog Joe Biden. It could really be a major problem.
I mean, Trump has these ways of doing things, like with Biden and his son, that seems to get people interested and kind of wondering. And would Biden put his foot down as president? Would he not always come across as this nice uncle or grandfather type? I think he probably would, and that would be the difference between Biden and Carter.
But he's already, Biden made the statement he never would have thought that Trump would go that low as to bring in his family. In a way, it makes him a little naive, because I would have thought you can expect anything to happen with Trump. But apparently Joe's been taken aback, and now he's starting to go on the attack on that. He's been trying to ignore the whole issue about his son.
Again, Donald Trump is very street smart. I don't think you would disagree with that, Ron.
Yes, I agree.
And he is...
He's like a hoodlum on the streets.
Right. He has this way of... He knows... He reads the paper. He reads Twitter, certainly. I mean, Twitter certainly is a news source. He knows that Biden is in the lead. And he's also aware of the other story that we'll talk about shortly. So if he finds a way to undermine Biden, even if it means being a little sleazy, that's politics. Politics is sleazy. That's the name of the game. And and that's how Donald Trump is anyway. So, you know, there may be a method to his madness. And whether is it ethical?
I mean,
but politics isn't ethical. I wouldn't do well in politics, because I'm too nice, and I'm ethical, and I can't be this kind of sleazy person.
Neither could I be. That's why I'd rather teach and speak about it and write about it.
Right, and that's but you can see, Ron, that's showing Donald Trump's street smarts in their full glory. No, it's not nice, but that's kind of how he is. And meanwhile, we have a decent economy. Interest rates are supposed to go down quite a bit over the next few months. I'm sure you saw that.
Yes.
Foreign policy, well, he has his very creative ways of handling foreign policy. Certainly not to the textbook way, not the creative way of Nixon, and doesn't seem to want to encourage peace. I mean, we want to mention that Carter did do many good things. The Egypt and Israel peace treaty, I think, was a major step, and I just don't see Donald Trump as someone who would do something like that. But you know, do we look at Donald Trump's foreign policy as knowing that it's different because he doesn't have government experience, or is it completely off the wall? And I guess
Jared is supposed to be coming up with a Middle East peace, but he's never accomplished anything yet, Jared Kushner. He's talked about, but he never does anything, it seems.
So the other news story, which again I think has very indirectly, if not directly, affects Joe Biden, is the health of someone who's considered either the front runner or at least in the top three, based upon whom you ask. And I would say he probably is number three at this point, Bernie Sanders. He did have a heart attack. It wasn't just a stent put in his heart. He had an incident, and he's pushing 80. He does look old.
78.
That he looks like he's 180. I think he does, but he does seem very healthy. Just because same thing with Nancy Pelosi. Even though you look old and you're wrinkled, doesn't mean you can't be
79 now.
You can't be vibrant. And I think with Sanders, he seemed healthy. He's always alert. But, you know, humans are a bit of a mysterious animal, and a heart attack can affect someone. Obviously, the older you get, and men are more susceptible, the more likely you are to have a heart attack, regardless of how your health may seem. And maybe we need to take a step back and think, is Bernie Sanders too old? Is someone that is late 70s?
I think he is, because it should probably take at least a month off, because it's a serious thing when you have a heart attack, and he needs time to recover, and I think he could get another one if he doesn't relax. But if he takes a month off, that's going to slow down his campaign. So it's a tough situation. It's an ego trip, just like for Joe. They both want to run no matter how old they are, but I really think it's time for a new generation.
I mean,
really.
Being president and running for president is stressful, and does Bernie Sanders have the health to do it? Or was this an isolated incident? Sanders doesn't appear to be overweight. I mean, we have Donald Trump, who isn't much younger than Sanders. I mean, he's not huge. He's not as big as Grover Cleveland or Taft or some of the other very heavy presidents, but he doesn't look like he's in very good shape.
He's the third heaviest.
Yeah. He makes no secret that he likes Big Macs and other things that aren't healthy. He doesn't exercise much. Yeah. He golfs, which is exercise, but he doesn't really just drives around in the golf cart, so he doesn't really do a lot of exercise in that regard.
No, he drives around. That's right.
I mean, Obama played basketball. President Ford was a former football player. Reagan was athletic when he was younger. So we've had presidents who have had a life of being in shape, whereas Trump, you know, he could be like, you know, again, we talk about people have had, everybody's had a grandmother who lived to be 90, even though she smoked and drank and was overweight. And maybe Trump is kind of like that. He's just someone who has beaten biology. I mean, he might make jokes. We might make jokes about him saying he's a vibrant young man. But bottom line is, for someone with not a very healthy lifestyle and a very stressful job, who doesn't get a lot of sleep, he seems like he spends 3 or 4 in the morning. He's out tweeting instead of sleeping. Which also makes me kind of wonder, he's got this beautiful wife. Why isn't he? This is a family show, but you know what I'm saying? I think he should be enjoying his leisure time with his beautiful wife, but instead I think he's sitting there tweeting at 3 or 4 in the morning.
And, well, I don't think his wife wants to spend leisure time with him, I gather. She doesn't seem very happy, if you notice her lately in public.
Yeah.
She seems to have... she's not smiling, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he's tweeting. Maybe Melania kicks him off the bed and says, Donald, maybe in one of the 5 languages she speaks, Donald, get out of the bed. I want to sleep. And he goes,
I want to mention about age, by the way. There was a couple I saw online, an elderly African-American couple married 82 years, the man 103 and the woman 100, and they're smiling and they look so good and they look anywhere near 100 and 103. And I'm just saying, wow, 82 years married through all kinds of turmoil and they look great.
yeah, I saw that. They were just adorable and... they live 80 more years. But I think Donald Trump, I think you would agree, Ron, is using Bernie Sanders' health as a way of compounding this issue with Joe Biden's son Hunter, that maybe Joe Biden's nose isn't as clean as people think, combined with his age. And he does seem to he might have early stage dementia. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell.
He's always
been a little bit aloof, but he seems like he's gotten a little more aloof in the last few months. Donald Trump is seeing an avenue where these two candidates are not up for the job. And I think
Elizabeth Warren is the other top candidate, and of course he calls her Pocahontas, but I think she's very aggressive. She's also becoming a year older than Trump was when he became president. She should be the oldest first-term president, but she seems very good, you know, but I still think it'd be better to go to someone younger, really, ideally. But
personally, I don't think anybody but Biden can beat Trump. That's what I continue to think that. And right now, you know, I'll still vote for Biden, but understand he better make a good choice for vice president.
Yes.
And if he doesn't,
any one of them needs to make a good choice.
Because
with the zero election year syndrome, there's a chance the president would die in office, if not naturally by assassination. It's happened so many times,
And as I've mentioned, I don't think anybody other than Biden can beat Trump. And if he makes a bad vice presidential decision, I get back to what I told you a few weeks ago. I'm trying not to vote for Donald's reelection. But if I have to, I will. I've actually now kind of leaning toward, if I feel that Biden just can't do it, because and this debate coming up in my backyard later this month will be a good indicator. I have no problem. In Ohio, you can register for whatever party you want to. I'm an independent, so I'm currently a Democrat, but that's all irrelevant. I do like Weld. I think, Ron, you also have a liking for the guy.
Yes.
I would gladly say I'm a Republican this time and I'll just vote for Weld. But of course, is that just a vote for Trump? Well, it probably is, but you never really know. We've had surprises.
One of the things is Weld himself is 73, so he's no youngster either. That's the problem. All these octogenarians, or what's it, septuagenarians, I guess it is, for 70, they're all, oh, we need younger, I really right. believe. You know, I really feel more than ever we need to be like a Kennedy, a Clinton, a Carter, or an Obama kind of person, somebody younger.
But you would agree, Ron, there's not really much debate here, that Donald Trump has taken this opportunity with Sanders' health now seriously in question, and Biden and his mental capacity, even though his physical health seems fine, he had medical issues a while ago, but he appears to, yeah. I mean, he looks healthy. I mean, he certainly looks like he's in shape compared to Donald. He's taken this as an opportunity to point out that between Sanders' health and being close to 80, and Biden with a quite possible mental capacity which is diminishing, and maybe that his nose isn't quite so clean, and that his son Hunter may be up to no good. He's yeah. seeing this as his avenue to pull out. And I think he knows, as what I just said, I don't think anybody else can beat Donald. If Biden is not a serious contender, Donald Trump will be a two-term president. And
hope not. My God. I like to still hope that Mayor Pete can do it. And he's really young. He'll be only 39 in office. And I really think the issue of being gay will not be as big an issue as one thinks, because the ones who wouldn't vote for him because he's gay wouldn't vote Democratic anyway.
So, Ron, would you agree that, I think you probably do, but not to the extent that I do, is anybody other than Biden able to beat Trump? Or would you at least agree that Biden has by far the best chance of beating Donald?
I think right now he does, but I think it's a long time to November, and I think another person could come along, not Sanders, but somebody else who could do it, and probably not Warren, probably one of the younger people, I think, could do it. I really still think so, but the point is, if they got out of the race, then it would be a whole new race. But if they're in it and people vote for them, then it's—I don't know—it's just very worrisome. Yeah.
We are speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman, the official presidentologist here on WWGH Radio, about Donald, about Bernie Sanders and his health being in question, Mr. Biden, his health or mental capacity being in question, and who would be the person most likely to defeat Donald in a presidential election. We both agree that that person is Biden. Ron and I don't agree fully. We agree mostly that no one else would really be able to garner enough electoral votes to make Donald Trump a one-term president. And Donald Trump, being quite street smart, as Ron and I agree with, is taking this opportunity to show that Biden and Sanders are not up to the job, that they are too old, and also there may be some issues with Biden's son, Hunter. Ron, do you think that Hunter really is someone that should be investigated, or is this making a mountain out of a molehill with this?
He's not Bo, the other son who died a few years ago. I don't know. We don't have enough information. I guess he's going to be investigated anyway, but according to what I've read, they claim there's nothing there. It's all been made up, so we'll have to see. But it's going to take attention away from the other issues, and there'll be a lot of attention paid to what is the story about Hunter. They'll have to see what comes out of it. If there really is a story, then it really hurts Joe Biden, I think.
Now, as I've mentioned before, although I wouldn't call myself a Donald Trump fan, there are things about his policies that I agree with, and immigration is the one that's the most controversial. As you know, Ron, get out your boxing gloves here, but maybe I'm over-dramatizing. Donald Trump has I don't know exactly what the logistics are, but apparently if you want to continue living here as a legal immigrant, you will have to either have health insurance, or kind of like the way auto insurance works, you don't have to have insurance in Ohio, but you have to show the ability to pay if you happen to have a claim filed against you. I agree with that policy, as I believe that an immigrant needs to show that he or she has a value to his or her being in this country. And obviously, if you're employed and you're getting health insurance, or you're self-employed, you have your own policy, it isn't a problem. But I see people who are living here, again, legally, we're talking about legal immigrants, sponging off the system and thinking that the United States is weak, and not worrying about having to pay reasonable bills on their own, like taxpayers and working people like Ron and myself do. So I do agree with that provision, Ron. What do you think about it? Do you agree with me, or do you think that it is unfair?
It's something just came out, and I'm sort of like torn on it, because no matter who someone is, you could have an emergency where even with insurance, you wouldn't be able to cover all your bills, and it would put you into poverty. So I don't know. I'm sort of like halfway. I would not go all the way as far as you would, but I wouldn't necessarily go the other direction either. I'm sort of like in the middle on it.
So
because nobody can ever know what's going to happen with their health. And even with health insurance, a lot of people have health insurance, and it's not adequate to cover their expenses, and it puts them into poverty. So I don't know. Right in the middle. I mean, I would not agree with you, but I wouldn't disagree with you.
Okay. Well, this is a case where I'm a bit surprised. Because, again, sometimes Ronnie comes across as being very liberal, especially if you take a look at his Facebook post. But when he and I talk, he is more of a mainstream Democrat. Again, more like Biden, or he mentions Humphrey, or even Carter. And Carter was a fiscal conservative in many ways. And
I'm originally Hubert Humphrey liberal. I still say I am that, even though he's long gone 40 years.
But you can
years,
see what I'm saying, that I think as an immigrant, again, we're talking about legal immigrants. You shouldn't be here sponging off the system. And I think you would agree, Ron, many people come here and they end up sponging. They stay, overstay their welcome. That kind of gets into the ICE raids where people, their visa runs out. They've not applied for the green card, or they're the dreamers. They've not taken the steps to become a legal resident or a citizen. They've delayed and the clock has run out. And that's kind of the whole idea. Some people have kind of compared this to the mandate from Obama. You know, we know you're a big Obama fan, that if you don't have health insurance, that you have to pay a penalty unless your income is below a certain level. And kind of surprisingly, Ron, I've thought about this. I agree with that in principle. To me, it's a bit like having to have auto insurance. I mean, not a perfect analogy, but similar. The problem is that Obamacare has priced health insurance out of the market. Either you're like me, you pay for your own insurance, and my insurance rate has quadrupled or more since Obamacare was enacted. Or if you have to get Obamacare because you have diabetes or some other condition that would be considered pre-existing and possibly not covered under a policy like mine, the price is so high you can't even afford it. So it's kind of that vicious circle. The basic concept of Obamacare I like. I just think that it's failed because of those two common scenarios. Not to mention,
well, that's what worries me about the legal immigrants with health insurance. You could even have it, but if you have a catastrophic illness, you may not be covered for it, and then you can't possibly pay the bill. And I still think, you know, there's a belief in the right to life, you know, in the sense that so many Republicans and conservatives want everybody to be born. The point is, what about people who need health care? Should they be told, die, because we're not going to do anything for you because you don't earn enough money to, you know? So that's why I'm in the middle on this.
But it is reasonable, though. I mean, again, I think you've kind of surprised me with your answer, because I've seen people on my Facebook who I don't think are any more liberal than you are saying this is just disgusting and this is so cruel that we shouldn't require immigrants to have insurance. And you're telling me you're not sure if you agree to it as stringently as I do, but you can see the point. So
yes,
let's also file this under something that you at least agree with Donald Trump on partially.
I agree with you. I don't want to agree with Donald Trump.
Right. But you understand what he's getting at. That we need to worry
I'm not
about.
I'm going to give him the credit. I'm going to give you the credit.
Right.
For that.
But you understand where he's coming at, that people shouldn't be sponging off the system. And especially if you're an immigrant, this is the time to show that you are an American. You understand our capitalist society, our capitalist culture and economy. And yeah, get covered. Even if it may not be enough to pay a bill, at least you have something. Like with auto insurance, most state minimums are nowhere near enough to cover a lot of events. But and I don't know exactly.
If you have an auto accident, nobody can necessarily be sure how they're going to handle that. That's why I say you never know what could happen. You know?
Exactly what these requirements are, I don't know. But the basic concept I certainly like. So there is some agreement here, and as we've talked about, Ron, and I think you're a little guilty of this, but not as much as most people. You know, Trump detractors. I mean, you being someone who dislikes Trump will not stop at anything to show that anything Donald Trump does is bad. And it's like they're rooting against this country being a good country and a successful country and a prosperous country just in the name of disliking disliking Donald Trump. And I've mentioned, you know, our mutual friend Gwen, with her, you know, who has a talk show that you're on regularly. She seems to be like that. It's like she'll find any reason to say, well, this is bad for the United States, and it kind of sounds like she doesn't like living here. She doesn't want to give something a chance.
Oh, I wouldn't say she doesn't like living here, but she is more to the left of me. That's true. That is true.
And it's almost like they want them to fail. And, you know, I guess in some ways, yeah, you don't want Donald Trump to be too successful because we want someone in office who's more appropriate. But as Americans, we really should be on the same team, and we've gotten very divisive. And what do you do? You know, we have a right to speak out. We have a right to say we don't like our president. We don't like his policies. But there just are some things that just very well might be a good idea. And we look just like we look at the economy and say, well, I'm seeing lowering interest rates. I'm seeing gas prices that are somewhat stable. What is Donald Trump's involvement in that? Well, any president is a victim or benefactor of circumstance. And I think, Ron, we would both agree with that, but I would give Trump a little more credit than you would, just like with Carter and the very bad things that happened during his presidency. But I'm quick to point out that peace treaty, which was not easy in the Middle East, that was one of
that is fantastic. People don't give him enough credit.
One of the biggest presidential accomplishments in my lifetime.
40 years.
Yeah, one of the best things that a president's accomplished in my lifetime, and it's. Carter, like any president, is a bit of an enigma. And I guess that was an area where his being nice really helped. But what about the Iran hostage crisis? What about the inflation? Would not being so nice help that? I mean, who knows? Hindsight is 2020. But
of course.
Certainly as a homeowner, I'm glad that my mortgage rate is not 20%.
Well, of course.
Let me say that. So we're speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman, the official presidentologist, historian of this radio station, WWGH Radio. As I mentioned, I'm reading his book about presidential assassinations, doing it kind of slowly so I can digest it. We'll be talking about that in more detail on an upcoming show, so do stay tuned. As I mentioned, my local library does have a copy, which was pretty excellent. They have a lot of books about presidents, and as Ron and I were talking about, he pretty much owns all of them. Ron has a large personal library.
Not all of them, but many, yes.
on your blog, Ron, theprogressiveprofessor.com, of course, we hear every day about the impeachment and all the jokes about peaches and other things, because Donald Trump, his hair is kind of peachy-colored, so that's all. So part of the fun. You write on Sunday, some Republican senators begin expressing criticism of Donald Trump. We've talked about Ben Sasse of Nebraska, very conservative, but he was a college president, a PhD, so very smart gentleman who I think is smart enough to understand what's impeachable, what isn't impeachable.
I think he's also presidential material. He's in his 40s. He's very appealing. I could see him for the conservative side, a possible future candidate.
Someone who almost became president, Mitt Romney, who used to be from Massachusetts and now he's from Utah. he certainly has been at loggerheads with Trump, and Trump mistakenly thinks he should be impeached, which he can't be, but who knows if he really was taking that seriously. I think he was just joking around. Susan Collins from Maine, she certainly is in the news from time to time. I don't know much about Joni Ernst from Iowa. She's someone else who's a Republican who's not too thrilled with Donald. Bottom line is an impeachment, and an impeachment being confirmed is a very real possibility, as we have Democrats who have kind of changed sides, at least with respect to whether or not Donald Trump should remain president. So this could very well be the third time that a president has been impeached, but this might be the third time is the charm, where the president actually is removed from office. And of course,
he's not going to be removed Although I did write about a week ago about 23 senators who could, in theory, vote to do so, ones who are not facing election in 2020. Although, interestingly, Sass, Collins, and Ernst all do face election, because that makes it hard for them. But there are a lot of others who don't face election to 2022 or even 2024, like Romney. And there's a few older people, like Chuck Grassley, who is very close to the end of his career in his 80s, who might decide for principle to stand up. So there's a chance, but I think there'll be some conviction votes on the Republican side of this trial, but not very many, no, unfortunately.
So, Ron, if he does get impeached, I know we've asked this before, but I just thought we would be a little comical here, because honestly, I thought we would be swearing at each other when we talked about that immigrant and health insurance mandate, but instead we mostly agree, so I'm still kind of in shock by that. But anyway, anywho, if a president is impeached, what exactly happens? Does the Secret Service come
and indicted by... You know, the House is acting like a grand jury, saying there's evidence to bring him to trial, so he's indicted, equivalent. And then he comes to trial in the Senate, and he needs a two-thirds vote to convict and remove from office, and that's the problem. But actually, it's probably good in the long run of history. You don't want to make it too easy to remove a president, but having to have a two-thirds vote is very difficult, 67 out of 100.
So if 67 senators say adios to Donald... What happens? Is he immediately removed?
So they all voted, and 20 Republicans. And I have a list of 23 I listed who might, but... And so we only have a few that you can say no to. And one of the ones I thought would was Rubio. And after what Marco Rubio, Florida, said, forget it. He's not going to – he doesn't have the guts to convict him. So it's going to be almost impossible to remove him. But hopefully there'll be a few Republicans who will show principle and vote to convict, making it over 50, at least a majority of the Senate.
But of the other times, Andrew Johnson and recently Bill Clinton, this obviously is the most possible to follow through and become a real impeachment. So if these senators vote,
as far as in the House, yes, it will. I'm sure it will come about in the House, but that's impeached. That's not conviction. That's not removal. It just means bringing it to trial is what an impeachment means.
So during the trial, what the senators vote, and if 67 say yes, is he immediately removed? Does he get like 72 hours to clean out his desk? What exactly happens?
I would think within a day he would have to leave. It's never come to that. Andrew Johnson was one vote short of two-thirds being removed, and but he wasn't removed. But I imagine they give you 24 hours, and in these times, the Secret Service would have you leave within a day, I'm sure.
Is there a specific protocol? Where is this law that actually says what happens? Because obviously Donald Trump won't be happy, but he's going to have to follow the law. He would get arrested if he won't leave. Do they tell him he has to leave and drop off the key? I mean, like when you leave an apartment. What exactly?
He doesn't have keys. But honestly, there's been talk he would not leave ever. He has made the statement he has to leave no later than January 20th, 2025, 8 years, because of the 22nd Amendment. He cannot decide to defy the Constitution. And if he refused to leave, he'd have to be taken out in, I guess, handcuffs and chains, because he could not, he could not stay in office beyond 8 years maximum.
So if he's convicted, the 67 senator says, let's go forward with this, then... and then, like in a sports match, it's over. And so
overnight. Now, I think by the next day, it would have to be out. I mean, in a sense of leaving the building physically.
But there really isn't. There's not really a law, Ron, or a written step by step as to what happens, right?
Well, he has to be removed, but I mean, maybe they give him a couple of days. But realistically, all he has to do is walk out under his own power, and anything of his own, stuff could be removed, his belongings. That's not a big deal.
Let's pretend that happens, Ron. What do you think will happen? Okay, I don't know when they would vote. I would think it would run till the late night, but Donald Trump stays up anyway. So it's 11 o'clock at night on Wednesday. The 67th senator, let's say it's Collins, says, we're going to go ahead and convict. And then
something? It wouldn't be 11 o'clock at night, because it's a dramatic moment. They'd want in the middle of the day so people could be watching, not when they're sleeping. Okay. I don't think it would happen at night.
Okay, so it's 11 a.m. instead on Wednesday late morning, and Susan Collins, who's on the fence, she says, okay, we're going to go ahead and convict. What happens? What happens? Isn't Mike Pence the president of the Senate? Wouldn't he be the person who tells Donald to leave?
He'd be presiding, yes. He'd be announcing the vote. That's okay. Right.
So would he basically say, well, that's nice. Now I'm going to be president. So he probably would be pretty...
He would say that.
He would be anxious to become president.
It would probably be like when Nixon announced he was resigning at 8 o'clock on the August 8th. By 12 noon the next day, he left. So it would probably be a 24-hour or less period, yeah.
But there isn't really a specific...
12 noon, and the new president would be sworn in the next day. So it would probably be up to 24 hours.
So would they maybe ask Mike Pence what he wants to do? Would that be logical?
What he wants to do regarding what? I'm not sure what you
removing,
mean.
Removing Donald Trump, and then when he would... then exactly, when would Mike Pence be sworn in?
He does not have a vote. The president of the Senate does not vote. He presides, so he is not one of the 50. He's not a senator, so he's not one of the 100 votes, no.
But would he be the person who is in charge of the transition? That's what I'm saying. Once the 67 senator says, Donald, you're out of here.
I mean, it really wouldn't be much of a transition. It would just be overnight. I mean, Gerald Ford, you know, until he announced Nixon he was resigning, he didn't know he was going to be president the next day. But the next day after that night, August 8th, August 9th, at 12 noon, he took over, so it's just overnight. Certainly he would be aware that it might be happening. I'm sure Pence would also if it was that close. But there wouldn't be much of a transition. It would just be within 24 hours.
But Nixon
just like
left.
British Prime Minister. If he loses, the party loses, the next day it turns over, not the next minute. So it's 24 hours it happens.
But Nixon left voluntarily, so that's kind of where the difference is.
So but he only announced it at 8 o'clock the day before he left at 12 noon. That's what I'm saying. It was 16 hours after he announced he left.
So there's no real hard and fast rule. Like, for example, the president being sworn in at exactly noon on the 21st of January. That's a hard and fast rule to the nearest second. The rule about...
Born in at 12 noon on August 9th, I think they would try to arrange it because that's usually when unless somebody dies suddenly, usually you're sworn in at 12 noon on whatever day. And I think you'd be sworn in 12 noon the day after the vote. Yes.
Okay. So we don't really know, but obviously it would be a historical moment that would be in history books forever. What exactly?
Yeah, I think we're the first people to discuss this kind of detail about the timing. I've never heard anybody else mention it on any of the channels. Yeah. I think that makes this show unique today.
Yeah, this show is something you're not going to hear anywhere else. But I think you would agree, Ron, the whole thing is interesting. It's like, what exactly happens? Nixon left voluntarily. We're talking
16
about
16 hours later is actually when he left. You know, but he announced, I'm going to resign tomorrow at 12 noon. Actually said at 12 noon, and, you know, he didn't. He spoke the next morning, and then he left, and Ford was sworn in at 12 noon.
I mean, an impeachment is somebody being fired. I mean, in the workplace, if you're fired, they don't say, well, just you just leave tomorrow. They immediately tell you to clean out your desk and to leave. There's also where your position's eliminated. That's more like if you're a lame duck president leaving on the 20th. But impeachment,
true.
You are fired under bad circumstances. You're getting a dishonorable discharge from the presidency.
Yeah, but the one thing is we don't expect the president that's leaving to have a gun that he's going to shoot up the workplace before he leaves after being fired.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right, but you would agree, it seems more like that scenario where you're fired from a job because you did something bad. And that's what
it would look better on his resume that he seems so worried about. I think that's hilarious that he worries about his resume.
Right. I guess one more scenario, too. I don't want to feel like I'm picking your brain too much, Ron, but I wondered kind of what you thought about this. If they went ahead and had 67 Senate votes, would Donald Trump say, oh, don't worry about impeachment, I'm just going to resign? He really can't resign once that 67th vote has been cast, right?
Well, the assumption is maybe he would... It's a question whether people would decide at the last minute to say... convict. You know, maybe some would be on the fence. If it was known or was sort of like realized there were going to be 67 votes, you know, just like with Richard Nixon, he was told by Republican leaders, you wouldn't have more than 15 people voting for you, and that's why he resigned. So they told him, oh, you know, Mr. President, we don't have 34 to keep you in, which is what you would need out of 100. Then I think if he knew he didn't have 34 votes in his favor, then he possibly would resign if he was aware that there were not 34 senators that would back him.
Right. So I think he would know.
Probably.
Yeah.
But he might be enough to believe it wouldn't happen. Who knows?
But the whole thing is just kind of fascinating what the actual scenario would be. What I will say is it would get everybody glued to his or her television.
Absolutely.
And that's certainly good for anybody in the media business because that means more advertising and more exposure. So
yes,
being in the news and talk business, I guess that's a good thing. Well, like any show that Ron and I do, time flies. We only discuss 10% of what we were supposed to discuss. But, you know, looking at the logistics, Ron, of what happens if a president were to be impeached, that is kind of fascinating because it really would be making history. It's never happened, and it would set a precedent. So a couple hundred years down the road, if someone else gets impeached, they will know exactly what to do.
Well, Donald Trump will never be forgotten in history. That he knows, no matter what, whether good or bad. Everybody's always going to know who Donald Trump is.
Yeah, he has certainly left his mark. Well, thanks again, Ron, for being with us. Another fascinating show. Again, inviting controversy, inviting comment, and I'm sure when we talk next time on the 14th of October, there will be more developments regarding a possible Trump removal from office, whether or not Hunter Biden is someone of good moral character, and the health of some of the Democratic candidates, again, some of whom are 70-plus. We appreciate you being with us, Ron. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks so much. You too.